who's sitting in for Heidi Skrypek this week.
Hello.
Welcome, Arlette.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, for the audience, I just want to say we're experiencing some kind of weird storm things right now and having electrical and technical issues. The power just went off. It's back on. And so here we are. So bear with us if we lose you or are interrupted.
You know, there was a tornado earlier, supposedly.
There was a warning and then it went away.
Oh, the whole tornado went away?
Yeah, they didn't have one, but they almost did.
That's too bad.
Yeah. anyway.
It's too bad it went away?
Well, I mean, it's exciting.
No, that's not what
it
I
is
meant.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I'm from the Midwest. We used to get them a lot, and I love them.
Tornadoes
too.
Yeah,
oh
in Texas.
In Texas. Yeah, you bet.
I just want to tell the audience a little bit about how the Klatch started. We need to review that every now and then.
But how did it start?
It started during COVID, and I was lonesome.
Oh.
And I had a Zoom coffee meeting one morning with a good friend of mine. We were talking. And after we were done, I thought that was almost like person to person, almost. What would it be like if there were a radio show where we gathered and acted like we were having coffee and just talking like we always talk? And so that's kind of the goal here. And we like to pride ourselves in that we say whatever we want to say and we talk about whatever we want to talk about. We can't say the seven words. We can't say, which I'm dying to say, but you know what they are.
Yeah. And there's a lot you can say that are reading between the lines of
that's
those.
That's right.
Yeah,
that
that's
you're surprised
true.
That are,
allude to those
there's
words.
Some other, other expressions. That's right. So anyway, welcome, Arlette.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, Arlette has been here since 1996. She's been doing a lot of radio, a lot of performances. She sings and she dances and she has a little business of her own. And I would like to know, Arlette, what's the name of your show on Thursday?
It's called The Moody Hour.
The Moody Hour, that's right.
And it is a truly eclectic show.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know John Jeffcoat has Island Eclectic, but he's not really eclectic. Because I play.
Because you are?
I truly am. I'll play African folk tunes. I'll play classical music. I'll play pop. I'll play English swing. I'll play
all of it.
Everything.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, what brought you to Asheron? How did you get, what boat rushed you here?
Well, I was from Austin, Texas originally.
Oh.
And then I lived in Seattle for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girlfriend come over from Austin, Texas to attend the Seattle Festival of Alternative Dance and Movement. And she was staying with me. And I remember bringing her to this festival. And I didn't want to participate in this one event because I had some wine and thought, well, you shouldn't do that. And dance with a little alcohol in your system. But it was a kind of a contact jam that I brought her to. And Stephen Moody was working the door there. And he let
and you did not know him then?
No. And I snuck in. And before you know it, someone grabbed me and I'm rolling around on the floor. Even though I got in for free and I wasn't supposed to be there. But anyway, I noticed Stephen Moody and he was very interesting and he kind of lured me here.
Oh, to Vashon. He lived here?
He lived here.
Oh.
And so I moved to the island 4 months after we started dating.
Oh.
And then I lived with a woman as a roommate for a year before mm-hmm. we decided to live together.
How fun. What a fun story. You got to come here for romance.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
And now 2 children later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would never live in a big city again.
Mm-mm.
I am such a country girl.
Yeah.
And I love being on this island surrounded by water and nature and bald eagles that act like pigeons.
Yeah.
You know?
They really do sometimes.
Yeah. You just see them everywhere and coyotes. And yeah, I'm very happy here.
I knew a woman once who had a pair of eagles that were like pets. They lived in the trees, of course, but she would go out. She lived on the beach and she would go out in the morning and their names were Mr. and Mrs. Jorgensen.
Oh.
And she would go out in the mornings. They had the eagles' names. Yeah.
Huh?
And they had lots of frozen fish, which they got for the eagles. And they'd go out in the morning and say, Mr. and Mrs. Jorgensen. And the two eagles would come. It was a pair. And they'd throw the fish in the air and the eagles would catch it. And away they'd go.
What?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mr. and Mrs. Jorgensen.
Well, I'm glad that she fed them actual fish.
Real fish.
Of like croutons
no bread.
Or Snickers
nachos.
Bars or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's your week been, you guys? What you been doing? Susan?
I have been doing construction.
Are you a sheetrocker now?
No, I'm a cleaner-upper.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't graduated to sheetrock yet.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I'm just the floor sweeper.
Well, it needs to be done, doesn't it?
It does.
That's exciting, though, right?
It's an exciting project. Yeah.
Well, I had a big couple of weeks.
You did?
Yeah. I'm the opera just finished up, and I am the production manager, and I stage managed this last opera. And we finished on Sunday.
Wow.
Was that Rustica or Cavalleria?
It was, Cavalleria Rusticana. And the first half was a gala, which featured different famous arias and such from different operas. And they had the orchestra on the stage.
Oh, they did?
Wow. Which to me was extremely exciting. They had a 29-piece orchestra. And Jim Brown is the conductor. And watching him conduct was like...
How fun.
Yeah, very exciting. And then the singers would all just line up, several at a time would be at the lip of the stage and just beautiful. It was really a wonderful concert.
The lip of the stage.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful phrase.
Oh, the lip of the stage.
Of the stage, yes. Well, I've had a pretty busy week, I think. A good thing and a bad thing, but the good thing is, did you guys, I was given a gift by a friend of mine, and it's a foot massager, and it's a beautiful thing that you put your feet in, and all of a sudden you're getting shiatsu and reflexology, and it's really, really good. Did you guys ever see Sex and the City? When
I never watched that show.
I did, way back when, and there was a scene where Charlotte got a vibrator. It was some newfangled kind of thing, and she disappeared into her bedroom for 3 days, and her her compatriots, her girlfriends, had to come and rescue her, and they broke her door down, went in and fixed her breakfast and got her out of bed and cleaned her up, and she just was like an addict in there. And so I just kind of say that's how my weekend was, except it was a foot massager.
You know that they have different types of massagers now, though?
That
pulsate air.
Yeah.
You mean vibrator massage?
Yeah, but they pulsate air.
I didn't know that. Well, this foot massager pulsates air.
Oh, really?
You can adjust the am I having mic trouble here? You can adjust the air, you can adjust the temperature, you can adjust the level of compression that you want on your feet.
Wow.
So anyway, I did that. And then the other sad thing is that
that was sad?
No, that's not another. Here is a sad thing.
Did you have to be rescued?
I didn't have to be rescued because nobody knew I was gone. Which is a good thing, really. I had to really wrestle with myself about whether or not I was going to have to lose my beautiful Queen of the Calico Cats, Tinkerbell.
That's a tough one.
Like, is it almost her time to go over the Rainbow Bridge? So,
Tinkerbell. I have a thing for Tink.
Tink, that's her name. It's Tink. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I talked to Dr. Allen, and Dr. Allen, he came over the house, and we were going to do the thing, and then he just looked at me and he said, I don't think your heart is ready for this. And I said, it's not. And he said, we can give her another shot of antibiotics, and it may work, and it may not, because she has kidney failure, and she's old, and she's got...
Yeah, that's how they go.
I mean, it is, and it is time. But what we were able to do was give her another few weeks.
Oh.
And I can have time to say goodbye now and just, spoil her to death, really, literally.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But... that was really hard, but I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to Fair Isle.
Yeah.
Because they really, really scored.
Yeah.
They were so kind. Everyone from Aaron and Sarah, and I was hysterical. I was on the phone hysterical because I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't know this was going to happen.
Little babies.
And so anyway, that's kind of.
I'm pleased to know they will come to the house.
Yes, they will.
I think that's. Because not all veterinarians do.
Right.
You have to bring the animal to them to put it down. And
Dr. Don had come to a friend's house once and kind of crawled under the bushes to be with my friend's dog.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Yeah, they're very caring people. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's my
thank
story.
You, Fair Isle.
Yeah, thank
dun,
you,
da,
Fair
da,
Isle.
Thank you, Fair mm-hmm. Isle.
You know, we like to do a on this day in history, just because I'm fascinated with this day in
what
history.
What happened on this day in history?
Well, on this day in history, it was Kristallnacht in Germany.
Tell us about that. And what, Kristallnacht?
Yeah, it starts Nacht. with the K. It was in 1938 on November 9th. And it foreshadowed the Holocaust. Mm. And, you know, there was great violence in the Nazis destroying shops and tearing up things, breaking things. Graveyards were vandalized. 3,000 Jewish men were arrested. And, you know, and Adolf Hitler in 1933, you know, he made it his mission. So yeah. You know, they used the excuse they made for trying to rid the country of Jews is that a low-level German diplomat in Paris was killed by a 17-year-old Polish Jew. So that made it okay.
That was the start of the Holocaust?
That was
a teenager?
That was, well, not of the Holocaust, but of the Kristallnacht. That's the excuse they used. It was revenge, and it was payback because a Jew had...
Killed a German.
A German.
Wow.
So, you know, I know that's kind of depressing, but that's what that is. And then...
But their real reason for wanting to rid themselves of the Jews was that the Jews were better with money.
Well, there's a lot of real reasons.
There were, I mean,
you know,
it seems to me that was...
That was a big one.
Follow
that
the
they're
money
controlling
is always,
too much.
Yeah.
Because
the Jews are often smarter.
Right.
And everybody else. And more
they
talented.
Were educated. Yeah.
So, you know, that set me to thinking about racism in general.
Mm.
And I watched a movie that I highly recommend for everybody to watch. And it's called Who Put the Klan in the Ku Klux Klan? And, you know, it's kind of like Who Put the Ram in the Ram-a-Lama Ding Dong? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but
the Klan
anyway,
in the Klan Klan.
One of my favorite historians is a Scotsman whose name is Neil Oliver, and Neil did a documentary about Scotland's role in racism in America and how so many of the Scotsmen at that time in the, you know, late 1700s all through the late 1800s were oppressed in Scotland, and you know, the lower class were pretty much feudal and slaves, and so they left and came to America, and they settled pretty much Tennessee and Alabama and around in there, and their racism came with them. And part of it is tribal, because clan, they're very tribal, or had been in that. I don't know if they still are, and I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying what I learned on this, on this Amazon Prime rental. But it's shocking and it's sad. And then I did some more research and I found out that, you know, Scotland now is answering that. Scotland is wanting to change statues and change names of streets.
Oh.
Because so many of their streets over there were named after their heroes who came over here and established plantations and bought slaves. And, you know, whether or not they were running slave forts on West African coast or captaining ships laden with human cargo or owning cotton, tobacco, coffee, and sugar plantations, in the West Indies and America's Deep South, the Scots played a key role in the plantation.
So I want to back up a minute, because your premise is that they brought racism with them. And these were the
Scots.
It's not
my premise. These are things I'm telling you.
You read.
Okay.
We never remember our sources.
That's right.
But the idea was that the Scots people who came over here were themselves oppressed.
Yes.
And they become oppressors.
Yes.
Isn't that, sort of like the whole idea of domestic violence, or this subject came up in the Brown briefly today, because there was a discussion of, was it racism? It might have been racism. But the whole idea was that the people who came over here, the people who came over here from Europe were the minorities who were oppressed for their religious beliefs. The Puritans and those folks.
Right.
And they carry on the tradition of othering.
Right.
Rather than to say, oh, this hurts. Mm-hmm. Why don't we stop?
Mm-hmm. Right. And let's embrace other people's beliefs and yeah. treat mm-hmm. people with respect.
Right.
Right. It's, yeah. And so I found that really, it hurt my heart to learn that. And I didn't know that. If you look on the web, there are a billion articles about Scotland and racism in America. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Huh. But on a happier note, in this day in history, Willie Nelson's assets were seized by the IRS.
When was that?
1991.
Oh, okay.
And so I interviewed him in probably 93 or 94.
Little Red.
Yeah, Little Red. He was on his Huevo Gold. Or Huevo, Huevo? No, that's an egg. Cuervo Gold. Oh. He was on his
tequila
tour.
Tequila.
And I met him at the Benson Hotel in Portland, and we had some margaritas, and we had really a wonderful chat. And I asked him, so what happened? What happened with all your stuff? You know, one thing happened when he got the notice from the IRS. He had somebody, a friend, go get his guitar, and he shipped it somewhere.
Oh.
Because they were going to come in and take everything.
Oh, my
everything
gosh.
In his house. So then he said, and then the nicest thing happened, you know, because they were auctioning off all of his possessions, Wait. His kitchen dishes and his blankets.
Why did
and
that happen?
Because he trusted somebody's financial advice. And he
got himself
in tax trouble. And he didn't know. It was millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Oh, my
tax
gosh.
Trouble.
Wow.
So that was kind of in the early 80s that all happened, but then by the middle 90s, they caught up with him. Anyway, I said, so what happened? He said, well, I have a lot of really good friends. And he said, my friends came to the auction and they bought all my stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Kidding.
And they gave it to me.
Oh, that makes me cry.
I know.
Really?
Oh, that's so nice.
I love that story.
Wow.
I love that story. And, you know, he was very grateful and humble. And he said, it couldn't, you know, and his friends.
Oh, anybody who has friends like that has got to be a really good human being.
Yeah.
He is a good human being.
You don't get that kind of love if you don't give it.
No. When I saw him and we sat and talked, it was really interesting because I thought I had 15 minutes because there were other journalists and other reporters that wanted to interview mm-hmm. him. And I got to sit there for over an hour with him just by myself with margaritas. And it was really fun. My son has a copy of the tape. And he said on there, I said, oh, God, don't make me listen to that because it was so long ago. And he said, I think I probably sound like a starstruck teenager. And he said, you do.
Wow.
So, yeah. So those kinds of things happened.
How old is Willie Nelson? 89, does anybody know?
89, I think.
Is 80, he 89?
86 or 89.
Later 80s.
Later 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good friend of my friend Angela. Down in Austin, Texas. She's got a club on the famous 6th Street down there.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and
wow.
She's good friends with him.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
He's a very nice man.
Yeah.
I was glad to know that he is who I thought he was.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't. Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I forgot to do is our COVID update.
Oh,
dum da dum da dum da da. Yeah. What's going on in COVID? Did you get an alert this week? Are we up or down?
I think we're down.
We're down.
Mm-hmm.
And the pills here.
Yeah.
For people who.
The pill?
The pill, the COVID pill.
I have
pill.
A whole different reference to that.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But the if COVID pill.
In
sick.
COVID. Okay.
Yeah.
The
so
COVID pill.
If you get
pill.
Sick, you can take a COVID pill and you
it's
should.
It's a series of five pills once a day.
Okay.
And it's like 90%. You still get sick, I think, but you don't go to the hospital and you don't die.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's really good news.
That's great. And then the kids, the littler ones, 5 to 11, are now able to get vaccinated. So that's really great.
I'm sure that's a huge relief.
Yeah.
To parents.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was just our main numbers at the beginning of the school year was just the kids.
Well,
you mean the kids who are getting sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. I didn't really realize that our kids were getting that sick.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I don't know about super sick, but they were the ones that were getting COVID.
And carrying it.
Then. Yeah.
Willie Nelson is 88, by the way.
88. Oh,
yeah,
that's
well,
my...
we were close.
That's how old
we?
I want to live to because 88 is the double infinity sign.
Oh, of course it is.
Isn't that a nice number to live to?
88. It's my lucky number.
Is it?
Yes.
My lucky
88
number.
88 or 8?
8.
8. Well, mine's 8,999.
8,999.
That's my favorite number.
Wow.
Since
that's
I was
an
a little
interesting
girl.
Number.
What made it your favorite number?
I just decided it one day.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Say it again.
8,999.
Okay.
Well, that is a good number.
Isn't it? Yeah, I think so.
I just like 8. It's a great number.
8 is a great number. Mm-hmm. Hey, I found an article about COVID and sex.
Oh.
Like how to practice safe sex in COVID.
I have an
days.
Idea, but how would you do it?
Well, the article talks about virtual sex is probably, you know, if you're not living with someone and you're having sex with someone you can't really see. So they're saying that, you know, sex-related issues can be solved over Zoom or virtual sex.
What about a droid?
What about a droid? I mean, people have them.
That's a good idea.
I don't know. But in addition
it would not disagree with you.
They can about flick anything. Their hair and it'll change colors.
Well,
ooh.
Yeah.
And here, I just have to read this to you.
Okay.
It says, also, you should consider wearing a face covering or a mask that covers your nose and mouth as heavy breathing and panting spread germs.
I have a better idea, though.
Just
What's having
your idea?
Some plexiglass between the people.
Well, that's what they're really talking about is a glory hole.
Oh.
Glory hole. That would be the best thing to do if you could put a sheet between the two of you.
Just a sheet?
Well, and then, you know, with a little hole in it.
Plexiglass sheet.
Well, you're talking about plexiglass.
Well, I just mean plexiglass, like, from the collarbone up. So everything else you
everything
can have access to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because we've learned that COVID is passed through the air, not through contact, physical contact.
Or if both people have their own, like, motorcycle helmet on or something. So your head's protected.
Well, that would be good.
So if you end up getting slammed into the wall or something, you've got extra cushion.
Yeah, and they also talk about how you may want to use a dental dam.
For?
Sex, because.
Well, I mean for your mouth?
Yeah.
For
your mouth.
Oh.
What does a dental dam actually do?
It closes off all the... Haven't you had one at the dentist before where
I was probably on laughing gas and I don't remember.
Well, it just says that, you know, condoms and dental dams can reduce saliva, semen, and feces during sex.
Feces. So a dental dam, I know, is a way that you can safely go down on a woman.
That's what they say.
Yeah. That's what that's used for in sex usually.
But
I only know it from my dentist.
Okay. You and your dentist are close.
Yes. Stop it. So moving right along.
Back to COVID.
COVID has changed how we dream, according to some psychologists.
Hmm.
And they're finding that during the COVID time, people's dreams are bigger, more alive, and people are starting to remember them more than they did. And they're attributing that, of course, it's very similar to what happened after 9/11.
Huh.
Because it's, you know, the pandemic.
Trauma.
Mm-hmm. And your dreams come out. Sometimes they're good dreams, but in the dream interpretation or through counseling when you're learning about your dreams, they're talking a lot about how this is pandemic dreaming.
Wow.
So I thought that was really interesting. I don't know that it's happened to me, really. I don't think my dreams have gotten any bigger, but I've always had Hollywood dreams. So
I have vivid dreaming.
Yeah, I always have.
I've had some vivid dreaming in COVID as well.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have, yeah. Yeah, just the other night.
Well, I think
I'd tell you about it, but I think we need to hear from our underwriters.
Oh, good idea.
This portion of VOV programming comes to you with support from Vachon Center for the Arts. VCA provides quality arts experiences for all ages and creates opportunities for artists to perform and exhibit their work. Find out what's happening at VachonCenterForTheArts.org.
VOV programming support is provided by Island Spring Organics. 40-plus years of organic, non-GMO soy foods made daily right here on Vashon. Tours are available. Find them on the web at islandspringorganics.com.
Hello.
Thank you to our underwriters.
Thank you, underwriters.
We're so happy
to
be here.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.
And we mean that.
From the bottom of our dental dams.
So what are you reading, Arlette?
I love to read. I always have to have a book in hand. And when I was working the opera on Sunday, I didn't have a good book to read anymore.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. So I had to go to the bookstore here, which was open because the library was closed. And I picked up Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens.
I've heard of that book.
And it's a worldwide sensation, they tell me. Number one, New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
And so far, it's beautifully written. The language she uses is extremely, visceral and sad.
What's it about?
A little girl living in the swamplands in Florida whose father abuses their family so much that the mother leaves, all the older kids leave, and it's just this little girl.
Ooh.
And the dad now is going off to drink during the day, and he's not there, and she's trying to figure out how to be living on her own, but then there's a body that's found near her, and there's a whole investigation that's going to start happening. I just started it. I'm just barely...
And that all happened in the very beginning?
Yep. Wow. So is it a whodunit?
It might be. It might turn into that, but the language itself is beautiful. And I have to say, if no one's written or read The Midnight Library, that's an extremely interesting book, well-written, and also The Four Winds. And that talks a little bit about also just racism in a different way, about the Dust Bowl and the people that survived the Dust Bowl and how they had to... The Okies, quote unquote, trying to cross over to California by foot to survive. And just that survival story is unbelievable.
What was the name of that one again?
The Four Winds. And it also makes me think of Cat Eagleston's show.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
The Cyclone Line.
The Cyclone Line.
Yeah. And I honestly didn't know that much about that time period during the Great Depression. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Talk about people that are like, I'm going to survive no matter what.
Well, and you know, I read that when a lot of times when the Oklahomans got to California, they couldn't get in.
Right. California didn't want them.
Nope. Mm-hmm. And they would charge them extra for all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And it was not a good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Racism within our country.
I know.
I mean, or between states.
Right.
Right.
Otherism.
The other.
Prejudice.
Otherism.
I guess.
It's a different state.
There's always a reason to be racist against somebody for some reason.
For something.
Right. You don't have the right freckles, or whatever.
You smell funny.
I kind of think that's human nature, and that what we're trying to do in this country is a grand experiment, because I think over human history, people stayed in their little clans, they stayed in their little villages, and they didn't venture out, and they certainly didn't accept people from other places until they began to realize that the incest was making them all.
Well, and that's what happened with the Scots coming over here, because way back then in their tribal eras, it's my tribe here and maybe 4 miles away is another tribe, but you're totally different.
Mm-hmm. Different dialect and reasons to hate.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm reading something a little more friendly. I'm reading something called In the Company of Crows and Ravens.
I like it already.
Ooh.
Oh, it's such a good book. And I have a continual love affair with crows.
Me too.
And,
ravens. Wonderful.
I just want to read one little thing to you about what Mark Twain said about crows. Because they're talking about, is it a crow? Is it a crow? Or isn't it a crow? Is it a raven? Is it a this? Is it that?
Oh, yeah.
So in 1896, he was in the House of Crows. He said... in the course of this evolutionary promotions, his sublime march toward ultimate perfection, he has been a gambler, a low comedian, a dissolute priest, a fussy woman, a blackguard, a scoffer, a liar, a thief, a spy, an informer, a trading politician, a swindler, a professional hypocrite. And it goes on and on and on about all these things he was. He was even a Democrat. And a practicer and propagator of irreverence. And then he goes on and on. And at the end, he says, let me find the sentence. He does not, when he lands, he does not know what sorrow is. He does not know what remorse is. His life is one long, thundering ecstasy of happiness. And he will go to his death untroubled, knowing that he will soon turn up again as an author or something and even more intolerably capable and comfortable than he ever was before. So they believe in reincarnation because the crows come back as different kinds of crows next time, you know?
In the Netherlands, there's a bird that seems like a crow, acts like a crow. People are annoyed by them. Like sometimes people are annoyed by crows, but they're beautiful. And they're black and white.
Black and white.
Oh. Yeah.
And they're incredibly gorgeous.
And there's some of those, well, like that in Australia, too.
Mm.
A friend of mine has two of them in her backyard that come to see her, and they brought their babies.
Oh.
They brought, when they came out of the nest, they brought all the babies to show her. It was really quite wonderful. Wow.
Whenever I go into ICF, you know, Island Center Forest here, I always go to that one part that has tons of ravens.
The ravens.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
What part is that? Where is it?
It's by the fir hall. Is that what it's called?
Oh,
it's by
the entry to the cemetery.
A
cathedral, or what do they call
it?
Well,
I call it that, but it's the fir hall, I think.
It's gorgeous there.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Susan? What are you reading? You're always reading.
I am, but I don't read fiction much. Mm-mm. I get my fiction from film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading What's Up with White Women.
What is up with this?
We benefit from white power, and in some ways that are not so nice, in other ways that are the ways we get any sort of power. Because women, as a gender, are oppressed as well as, or not as much as people of color. But so it's kind of the question of the alliance between white women and people of color, and particularly women, other women of color.
Interesting. I'd love to hear more about that.
Very deep.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm reading that. And another real upper, which is Democracy in Chains.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who wrote that? Oh, you knew I was going to ask you that.
A woman named, I want to say McLean, but I might have that wrong.
I remember
something. It is written
by
a woman, and she's done a lot of investigation, a lot of historical research into basically the conservative plot that started with the Reagan administration to stop rule by the majority in this country, and to assure that it is ruled by the minority, that 1%, and they're making it.
And they're making it work. It's working for them.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, well,
that's
what
I go to
sleep
reading. Yeah. No wonder you're having big dreams.
Yeah, right. Right.
Can we talk about Vashon for a minute?
Yes.
I just love our little Vashon. And I see, you know, some things are changing here. Some things are not changing. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. I've been noticing a lot of graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been seeing that?
A lot of graffiti? I have not seen a lot. I know there was some big graffiti over Halloween.
Mm-hmm. There was. But if you drive down the alley behind the drugstore and, you know, down behind Cafe Vino Oreo, all the garbage cans, all the big dumpsters, and there's a lot there.
Like good graffiti or just not?
I think it's more like tagging. It's not.
It's not art.
No. It is, to my mind. Mm-hmm.
When you say,
art.
Would you define tagging for the listeners? What do you
mean? that's when somebody else recognizes your work. You leave a signature. It's more like a signature, so somebody knows
I
you were
see.
There.
Sort of like
that's
I was.
That's my
there.
Understanding of it, and I could be totally.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's different from graffiti, which can be art.
Yeah.
So I guess there needs to be another word, maybe. I don't know, but I call it vandalism. Or
right.
I don't.
That's the word, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's. Yeah. Maybe that's.
I've been noticing, of course, the broken glass.
Yeah.
Most recently at the movie theater, and I think she just recently got her window put back up
there.
Mm-hmm. And that saddens me a lot.
Yeah, that kind of stuff hasn't been here. That's
no,
that's
hasn't.
New.
Ever since I've lived here, I've never noticed anything like that before.
Mm-mm.
No, that is vandalism. That's destruction. And even when I worked with the Park District. There was a little bit of that, but it was rare, and it was never broken glass. It was more graffiti.
Yeah.
But this is a new thing. And what I know of the couple of incidents that have happened is that they were different people. One of them was a gentleman who was mentally ill and having an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the other two incidents. One was the flower shop, and the other
Bloom.
Was the Urban Bloom. Thank you, and the theater. And I don't know that anybody knows I don't know that any was ever any perps were ever found for them.
No. Perps. That's such a funny word.
But yeah, that's changing. And then we had the very intense racial graffiti that was racist graffiti that was sprayed on the table at the Village Green and then on the wall across the street. Mm-hmm. The N-word in large letters.
It's terrible.
Over Halloween, when everybody was wandering around town, little kids were there.
It was such a happy night.
It was.
It was a great night.
It was a great night. And maybe people didn't even notice it. I can hope.
Yeah.
Well, what's being done about that? Do you know?
Well, it was all cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
But the community reaction has been strong. And a couple of folks purchased some space in the newspaper to make a statement and called on folks to add their names to it. And in the short period of time that they had, which was like 3 days, Janie Starr and Jenna Riggs pulled together close to 500 names that are going to appear on this page that basically says they're not going to tolerate that kind of treatment of our fellow Vashonians. And I would suspect if they'd had a little more time, we would have had 1,000 names on
I'm there. Sure.
See, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Right. It went as fast as it could.
Yeah.
This is something that's not changing in Vashon. I mean, Vashon has always had an opinion. Vashon's always had a way to protest or explain or idealize any number of issues or stories even, really. And I think that's a wonderful thing about Vashon is that we will stand up and yell and scream and make a change. So with regard to racial tolerance, I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. And it makes me really sad that it's happening.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, this is Vashon. And we don't do that here.
No, I think we're more about kindness and acceptance than anything else. At least that's the feeling I've had over and over again on this island.
All these years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and I think the diversity on the island is beginning to grow a little bit. We're getting some more families of color here.
Finally.
Yeah. And man, it's great. It's so nice to have them. I come from Chicago where there was lots of diversity in language and in race and so forth. And it was rich.
And it's part of life. It's part of rich life.
It's what makes
life.
A healthy garden.
Yes. And Austin too.
Yeah.
You know, big population of Hispanics and black families. And we had a black family next to us living next door. And I had a little smoochy time with the boy there and his mother didn't like that, which was unfortunate.
Aww.
I know. They were Baptist. We were Catholic. Maybe that
was
the
problem. Oh, I bet it was a Catholic.
Yeah. That was
it. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Hey, one little thing I want to talk about very shortly is, and in short spurts, is quirks. Quirks have been, I've been pointing out some quirks that from friends of mine or two friends of mine. And
oh, yeah, the I have a friend thing.
I have a friend who has this silly quirk. But I was wondering, you know, we all have quirks, or our kids have quirks, or there's a quirk of the waitress that you know from the hardware store or something. She has this little quirky twitch or something. So
that's cute.
I was asking my son the other day if he thought I had any quirks. And he said, oh, do you mean like how you can't sit in a restaurant if you can't see the door? I said, oh, yeah, that's one I guess.
From your gangster past.
Yeah, it's my gangster past, for sure. I don't know who's coming in that door.
You can't have your back to the door.
Right.
Yeah, I really can't.
That's an energy thing, though. That's actually smart. That's your survival instinct thing going on.
It's also my curiosity, because I want to know what's going on,
right.
You know? And it can detract from conversation sometimes because I'm looking at who's coming in the door, but I have to know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the reporter in me, maybe. I don't know. How about you? You got a quirk, Susan?
Well, my husband would probably say many, but one is that I like my dishes to color coordinate. They don't have to match, but I like the colors to work together, and it makes me uncomfortable if they don't.
Oh.
At my own meal, or especially when I have company over.
Well,
I like a nice table, and I like it to be color coordinated. And
that's so nice, though.
It's really nice. I love that.
Yeah.
I have a thing about towels. they have to be folded a certain way and they have to be really tight. Like you talk about the in the Army when they would tell you to make the bed so a nickel can bounce on it. That's how I like my towels. So I spend a lot of time folding towels and folding dishcloths and that kind of thing. And it's just something I do. And I don't know why. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
But I want those towels in a nice order, all nice and soft and really squashed together in the closet.
Some of that might be kind of control issues.
I think that's one thing I can control are my towels.
Right. Like when I think of quirks for myself, I'm not sure how to say or articulate that. But there's a lot of things that I prefer, you know, like my little dog climbs in bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Some people are like, oh my God, you sleep with your dog. I do.
Oh my God, how could you not?
And in the morning, I have to air the bed out. I have to get the little roller thing and get all the hair out, or I cannot lay in my bed again that night. It's got to start clean.
Really?
If it start, well, I mean, the last thing you want to do is roll over and take a deep breath and suck in a bunch of hair.
Because you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I have to floss like every night. If I don't floss, it really bothers me. And I can't imagine being with anybody who didn't floss. Like if you're going to kiss me, you got to floss.
So has that come up? I mean, have you flossed?
I don't know.
Tell us.
I would ask, do you floss? How's your oral hygiene? But thing is, I get a lot of food out. Like, don't you, when you floss?
Oh, yeah, you do.
And then if you don't floss, that just sits there and it adds and accumulates. And before
stinks.
You know it, it... Yeah.
Yeah.
And the minute you think about kissing someone, you think about the food between their teeth.
Or someone is always having to pop in those little square things that melt in your mouth and make your breath smell fresh.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, those are people that don't floss.
Or drink water.
Right.
Well, water is important.
One must drink a lot of water.
Right. Got to drink a lot of water.
Keep the breath fresh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kissable.
Cleaning the insides. It's important.
Yes. Diet affects your breath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, stomach issues affect your breath, too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. A lot of things do.
But that's diet related, probably stomach issues.
If you're not eating stuff that your body likes, your breath is going to tell the world.
And then you're going to be embarrassed.
Oh,
or
bare
avoided.
Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Embarrassed.
Okay, we know what that is.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I also thought we would like to talk today about fitness in general.
Especially since we have an expert in the room with us.
We do have an expert in the room with us. And Arlette, I've had a lot of conversations lately with women about fitness, and usually these conversations happen after the first of the year, after the holidays, you know, and now it's happening because of COVID, and we've kind of been, some of us have been kind of lazy, some of us have worked out more than ever in COVID, so I'd really like you to talk to us about your business and what it is you do and how you're helping us figure out what being in shape means.
Well, I'm not an extremist, as you know.
I know you're not.
So
I love that.
I enjoy eating. I enjoy a little wine now and then, but I'm very active and I'm overall really healthy. And one big goal for me, and I teach Pilates and I investigate other movement techniques, and I want to keep interest going on. But one thing that's really concerning in some ways, and I just want to help people find ways to be in their body on a daily basis. That, okay, you're stuck at the Thriftway waiting in line to buy your groceries. Oh, I can work my pelvic floor right now. Oh, I can set my core. I can think about maybe just raising and lowering my heels a little bit or squeezing my inner thighs together. When I'm reaching for something, I'm going to integrate my shoulders down my back as I reach my arm out to grab something. That you're inhabiting your body as a moment-to-moment experience. It's not, oh, I got to put on my special leggings and I have to go and do this special thing and I do that for an hour once a week. Yay, I'm exercising. That's not effective. It's just not. So everybody out there, I'm telling this story, I already told you guys, I'm going to tell it again here on the air. So I have a 92-year-old auntie in the Netherlands.
What is her name?
Marie-Thérèse Van Poel.
Marie-Thérèse.
I call her Tante Matrez, and my other cousins call her TMT.
Oh.
And she's extremely healthy. She does her exercise gymnastique every morning.
Mm-hmm. What does that consist of?
She does it through the television. And she has a little cycling thing that she sits and does her legs. And she does different arm stuff and kind of just basic, really good core work. Mm-hmm. And then she has no problems with incontinence at all.
And I asked, 92.
At 92. And I don't know a lot of people that age that don't have an issue with that.
Right.
And I asked her, so what's your secret? What are you doing? She goes, well, about 40 years ago, I learned through one of my teachers that every single time you sit on the toilet and you're urinating, pause and count to six mid-flow. She does it twice each time.
She counts to six twice?
Well, she counts to six and then she resumes, mm-hmm. and then she pauses again and counts to six. Now,
wow.
I kind of think once is enough, mm-hmm. because you're urinating how many times a day?
Yeah.
So, but what that does, you're pinpointing that one muscle around the urethra to contract and stop the flow of urine. So you're specifically strengthening that. In my studio and in my car, because I find different ways to engage my pelvic floor, I'm thinking of that whole hammock of muscle from your pubis to your tail and increasing the tone through that whole hammock of muscle there. Mm-hmm. So that's great to do as well. So if you think about the clitoris number one, vagina number two, anus number three, can you individualize those 3 points? And I play a little game with my clients sometimes with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm pondering that.
Yes.
Or if you think about carrying a little passenger, say a raisin is your passenger, and you're going to scoop up that raisin with your pelvic floor, aka your vagina, and lift it up to each story, climbing higher and higher. So the fifth floor is the highest, quote unquote, Kegel you can muster. And with control, slowly bringing that raisin back down to the resting level number
one. Wow.
And then the 1, 2, and 3 bed, it's like I can contract number one, which almost feels like someone puts their thumb and pushes up and in at that clitoris area, relax it, vagina's lifting up that raisin, relaxing it, and the anus, pinch a loaf and relax it.
What was that, Vin?
Pinch a loaf.
Oh, pinch a loaf.
That's great. Yeah, we just had to say that again.
I wasn't sure it was English.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So
that is fascinating.
Thank you.
Utterly fascinating.
But that's important because that's the bottom of your core. People think, oh, my abs, my six pack. Well, that doesn't matter. Your six pack is superficial. So your core muscles are the innermost layer of muscle that's either closest to your bone or your internal organs. So that's your transverse abdominis. It's your multifidite running up your spine. It's your psoas major. It's those, your diaphragm is the lid of your core.
And those are hard to get to.
Yeah.
They're hard to access because we're not used to accessing that.
So what about men?
They have the same pelvic floor muscle that we do. It's just some of the shapes and muscles are longer or bigger than others. I say, and my cue for them to lift up their pelvic floor is if they're walking into the Puget Sound slowly, how to lift their jewels up away from the ice cold water.
So that can they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when they're at cold water, they can, but can they do that at will?
It depends on the individual and how accessible they are to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for those of us, I kind of know, but can you explain what the philosophy behind Pilates is?
There's so many. Yeah. I wish I thought of this before because I've just been doing it for so long. You kind of forget, but you don't forget. But it's finding efficiency with movement and muscles. It's strengthening the core muscles, which are basically your postural muscles. Mm-hmm. It's working on coordination skills, which is brain work and tying your brain to your body. It's proprioception skills, which is where is your body in space? Stretching your limbs as well as strengthening. So it's the whole set of intelligence coming into the single person. Like, how do you really, can you move your body efficiently? Can you relax as much as, can you find the strength and activate muscles to get the work done? because there's a lot of working out that's like grip, tighten,
faster.
Yeah, and that's old school. So what we're looking for basically are healthy bodies that do what you need them to do.
Well, and before we started the show, you were saying that before we technologized ourselves into this more,
it was more normal that we were all healthy.
Yeah, so what were we doing then that we're not doing now?
We were walking.
We were moving.
We were lugging water from the well to our basins. Mm-hmm. We were physically using our bodies to wash our clothing. We were out in the gardens, tilling our own fields.
Digging and stooping and bending.
Yeah, and I feel like the more tied into technology we are, the less connected we are to ourselves. Spiritually as well.
Yes.
And emotionally.
I love the term inhabit your body. Because I think we do. I'm in my body, but you're not conscious of that shoulder blade muscle or how, for me, I have a lower back thing. And when I am conscious of it, I can fix it. But when I'm not thinking about it, it goes again. So that's really interesting. I like that. I understand you have a big dream.
I have a big dream.
And do you want to tell us about your big dream?
Well, it's a goal I'm working towards. I really want to help people find joy and love and in being in their bodies. That you don't have to smoke a bowl or have a glass of wine to enjoy dancing to some music. And to play games again. It's like if we could all get physical and play games together, I think we would have a nicer time connecting to one another, letting our egos kind of die a little. It's like, how do we relate to one another without, oh, my story. Oh, you know, and it's like, oh, come on. You know, so I went to a workshop that Ronley Blau led at Mar de Jade in Mexico a few years ago. And I went to this place and I was like, oh my God, I've got to teach a workshop here. So my big goal would be, could I travel around the world and teach workshops? And the workshop I would like to do, and I would thought about doing this with Linnell Schoberg, who's got some great skills too.
She's great.
So in the mornings, we would do like 3 hours of some technique classes, working on Pilates, doing some yoga, doing some other types of physical engagement for core strength, stretching, all that. And in the evenings, doing one night of I Make a Fabulous Dance Set, we're all just going to dance to some great music. Another night would be the CDP practice, which is contemplative dance practice, which is where that's a whole thing, but God, it's beautiful. So it's basically improv, and you can witness or you can get up and move as the spirit moves you without judgment. You can even sing or hit the floor of the rhythms and just articulate what you can't articulate with words. Another night could be physical games. So Steph and I used to do something called the lingerie party. And we don't do it anymore because we're so old. But we could still do it. Not that you can't do it when you're old, but I don't want to see some people in lingerie anymore. But besides that, we would play physical games. Like we would play something called switcheroo, where everyone's standing shoulder to shoulder in a circle. You've got one person in the middle. The people in the circle look across the circle, make eye contact with someone. And the second you make eye contact, you quickly switch places before the person in the middle grabs your spot. And it is super fun. It's fast. People are moving. People are laughing. Hopefully no one's bumping into each other and getting hurt, but it's super fun. Or another game where you're shoulder to shoulder, you close your eyes, you turn a quarter turn in one direction, you put your hands on the person's shoulders in front of you. You kind of feel their neck, feel their shoulders, and then the cue is given to disengage and walk around the room a little bit, blind. You can't see. Your eyes are closed. And then the cue is given to find the shoulders you were touching before.
Wow.
So you're walking in the room, touching everybody's shoulders. And then when you find the person, you just hang tight. So pretty soon, the circle reforms. Unless people are too drunk, then it doesn't work very well. And then there's another variation where you could touch the person's waist. And then you're walking around the room trying to...
Like a train.
It's super fun. I just want to help people enjoy their bodies and being physical and just find that child in us again.
Boy, we have lost that.
We really have lost that. That is such a great idea.
And a lot of people I know, they can't loosen up or have a good time unless they have some wine in them. Or unless they, I got to have my such and such. Yeah. It's like,
you know. No, you don't.
And then we can be physical and exercise through playing games.
Remember what it was like to be a kid. Yeah.
Well, you know, Think about those games. Pull away and all those things we played when we were kids. Physical.
Right. Swinging statues, Marco Polo, and all sorts of fun things. Red light, green light.
Yeah. So what prompted you? I mean, how have you always been a physical fitness person
I was a very physical kid when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I liked doing chores. I liked mowing the lawn. I liked doing things like that, crazy enough.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I got into drill team and concert choir. So I started to dance and sing. And of course, I grew up in a musical family. So music was a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up studying dance in college. And that's when I first got into Pilates. And then coming to the island here and just seeing all the interesting people I know here. And they're out of the box. You know,
yeah.
And they're interested in other things and new ideas, and let's connect and really be present with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so these ideas have been coming along for a long time. And also a lot of my clients, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to have met you 50 years ago, and let's get in our bodies now, you know, and
let's play
and have fun now and relax. Like I would love to help people relax, you know, and really let go and not worry and not worry about the judgment or what women are supposed to be always so good. I want to be a good girl. I got to work hard. And it's like,
and be pretty.
Yeah.
And listen well.
Yeah. And get out of those high heels, get out of those tight waisted skirts and let your hair down and let's run naked in the woods. Shall we?
So we were talking about doing naked radio.
We were going to do naked radio.
Oh, right here.
Right here.
Right here.
We can do it right now. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to do it this minute. Uh-oh, Susan's got her shirt on.
Stay tuned, Stay tuned for Naked Radio.
How do you figure diet and food and that kind of thing into your whole program?
Well, I have my own investigations that I've done with diet and food and stuff like that. And I've also done a lot of investigations into other techniques with movement, like I'm learning Qigong right now.
Oh, I love Qigong. I learned a little bit of it.
But. Yeah, and I've been doing Liangong too out in Olympia, which is very functional and kind of awesome. And it works well with Pilates and integrates well with Pilates. But people don't usually come to me for diet. You know, they're coming
to
me to get connected.
No, I'm sure they don't, but I was just asking on your personal.
Kathy Abascal is, it's just good information, it's good education.
For those of you who don't know, it's anti-inflammatory.
Correct. Yeah. Right. And she's constantly researching like new products that come on the market and like, oh, there's this new thing that's out there. Check this out. And it's all about, you know, really, how do you feed yourself well and read labels and how much proportions or portions do you give yourself of this one thing? Because it's 2/3 fruit or vegetables. Other third is protein and or carbs.
Right.
And it really does work.
And it's all very individual as well. I think diet is very individual. And if you eat food closest to its natural state, avoid the processed stuff, you'll probably be fine.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Do you have, Susan, you did Pilates online with your daughter-in-law
for a
while.
My daughter-in-law teaches Pilates in Los Angeles. And in the first part of the COVID, she was teaching on Zoom. So I was able to get free Pilates classes once a week.
That's great.
And it was deceptively demanding.
Yeah.
And I was getting much stronger and I've hung on to some of what I learned. She had to stop doing it because she started taking private clients again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great.
Yeah.
I loved it and I was surprised. Yes.
But that was mat work, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a studio with all the equipment, but of course couldn't do that on Zoom. So it was all mat work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's hard. It's good work.
Yeah. Well, and the way she described it, it was like a combination of dance and yoga, essentially, with a lot of the principles of dance and the principles of yoga, particularly incorporating the breath.
Yeah. And I think if you're a Pilates person, you'll do yoga more safely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would think so. Right.
Yeah.
We're getting close to running out of time.
Are we running out of time? What time is it?
We
have 2 minutes left. So I want to ask one more question about that. Do you have any advice for those of us of a certain age who have no motivation? I really hate exercise. I hate it. like in the gym. I can't go to the gym. I don't like the smell. I don't like any of it. But walking, I love. And I'm walking.
Walking.
That's fine.
Walking's great. When you're sitting watching TV, you can practice using your pelvic floor. You can also squeeze and release your glutes when you're seated.
You can move
your ankles and your feet when you're seated also, going heel, toe. In fact, there's a nice rhythm game that I like to do, especially on airplanes. If you're stuck seated there for a long time, it gets the blood flowing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not always about the aerobic.
Pilates is not aerobic.
No, I know it isn't. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is it's your muscular internal strength. And not so much your heart rate and your fast breathing.
It's your body intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's marrying the brain to the body through the breath.
Well, and I think what you said about inhabiting the body, being aware that you're in your body all day long.
Yeah, it's our special vessel.
Yeah, and when you can feel it working with you, or if it's not working with you, how to get it to work with you.
Yeah.
It does enhance the experience of going through a day.
And loving it. I mean, really being kind to ourselves. That's a big thing.
That's the biggest
thing. Don't push till it hurts. Be kind to yourself.
Thank you so much, Arlette.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're running way out of time. Like maybe we're over time right now.
We're almost over time. So
I just want to say goodbye. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.